All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are standing in the confessional corner this week looking at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer in Luther's Large Catechism. So we'll be looking at paragraphs 35 through 50 or 48 to see what Luther has to say about this petition, Hallowed Be Thy Name. We pick up in paragraph 36, which is on page 412 of the Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions. This is indeed somewhat difficult, and not expressed in good German. For in our mother tongue we would say, Heavenly Father, help us in every way, so that your name may be holy. But what does it mean to pray that his name may be holy? Is it not holy already? Yes, it is always holy in its nature, but in our use it is not holy. For God's name was given to us when we became Christians and were baptized, Matthew 28:19. So we are called God's children and have the sacraments by which he connects us with himself, so that everything that belongs to God must serve for our use, Romans 8:16-17. So yes, God's name is holy in and of itself because he is a holy God, but it is our use. And we'll see this again throughout the petitions, is that yes, his name is holy. His kingdom comes without our prayer. His will is done without our praying for it, but not always among us. We must remember that we don't always keep these things. Therefore, we pray for these things to be done, especially within ourselves. We pick up in paragraph 38. Now, here's a great need that we ought to be most concerned about. This name should have its proper honor. It should be valued holy and grand as the greatest treasure and holy thing that we have. As godly children, we should pray that God's name, which is already holy in heaven, may also be and remain holy with us upon earth and in all the world. But how does it become holy among us? Answer as plainly as it can be said, when both our doctrine and life are godly and Christian. Since we call God our Father in this prayer, it is our duty always to act and behave ourselves as godly children, that he may not receive shame, but honor and praise from us. So how do we keep his name holy? By having our doctrine and our life match up what he says in his word. And people want to say, well, we don't need doctrine. Well, no, we need doctrine because we need to know what is right and wrong and how to live that godly life. Because if it were just up to us, we see how that is out in the world, where people do whatever feels good, whatever seems right to me. Whether it may be right to you or not doesn't matter, because that's your opinion, this is my opinion. But if we have something strictly stating that no, this is right, this is wrong, there is no asking about opinions. It is simply, this is right, this is wrong, black and white. We pick up in paragraphs 40 to 44. Now God's name is profaned by us, either through our words or in our works. For whatever we do upon the earth must be either words or works, speech or act. In the first place, then, God's name is profaned when people preach, teach, and say in God's name what is false and misleading. They use his name like an ornament and attract a market for falsehood. That is indeed the greatest way to profane and dishonor the divine name. Furthermore, men, by swearing, cursing, conjuring, and other such actions, grossly abuse the holy name as a cloak for their shame, 1 Peter 2:16. In the second place, God's name is profaned by an openly wicked life and works when those who are called Christians and God's people are adulterers, drunkards, misers, enviers, and slanderers, 1 Corinthians 5:11. Here again, God's name must come to shame and be profaned because of us. It is a shame and disgrace for a flesh and blood father to have a bad, perverse child that opposes him in words and deeds. Because of that child, the father suffers contempt and reproach. In the same way also, it brings dishonor upon God if we are called by his name and have all kinds of goods from him, yet we teach, speak, and live in any other way than as godly and heavenly children. People would say about us that we must not be God's children, but the devil's children, 1 John 2:29. So two ways God's name is profaned. First is when we preach, teach, and say anything that is false and misleading. And this is where we have our biggest problems as Lutherans, or even as Christians, working with other denominations and working with people of differing beliefs, because there are some people who do promote falsehood in the name of God. And it's not just, again, not just a matter of opinion, but it is their interpretation is wrong because it goes strictly against the gospel and the Bible. And we'll see this more and more again as we go through the digging deeper into Revelation over the course of this next 18 months or so to see that how things that are left to be figurative and pictures of things aren't necessarily the main thing in the text. But people take those little things, take the pictures, and make them the big things. And we've seen that in some of the overview of the interpretations, especially the continuous historical approach where it's reading Revelation with the newspaper, or the left behind approach where it's a play-by-play as to what is going to happen in the last 7 years of this age. We see that those things are not what is important in Revelation. So also throughout any other scripture that there is, that we have these things that are said by God, and then people promote the exact opposite or change it in ways that they would like to see it done. And all they do is use God's name like an ornament and attract a market for falsehood. The second way is by just living an openly and wicked life where you are simply promoting the name of Christian, but living your life as if God does not exist, that God does not matter. That is the second way of profaning God's name, is the adulterers, the drunkards, the misers, the enviers, the slanderers that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 5, which some of the Corinthians were, but now they've been washed by Christ and his blood, so they should live a new life. This is why when we talk about Romans 6 and baptism, that is that we are raised to walk in newness of life as God's children, not giving the things of the former life, but living a new and godly life. But there are people who want to go through the motions, say they're Christians, but be able to do whatever they want. They are profaning God's name in this second way. So as we move into paragraph 45, Luther links several of the petitions with commandments in the Ten Commandments. And for the first petition, he links it with the second commandment. So you see that in this petition, we pray for exactly what God demands in the second commandment. We pray that his name not be taken in vain to swear, curse, lie, deceive, and so on, but be used well for God's praise and honor. For whoever uses God's name for any sort of wrong profanes and desecrates this holy name. This is how it used to be when a church was considered desecrated, when a murder or any other crime had been committed in it, or a monstrance or relic was desecrated as though they were holy in themselves, when they became unholy by misuse. So this point is easy and clear if only the language is understood. To hallow means the same as to praise, magnify, and honor, both in word and deed. So when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are praying to keep, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We are praying for the ability to be able to keep that commandment. Because the vanity of our usage of God's name is what profanes it, what brings shame to not only us, but also to God. And if not repented of, brings us to that day where instead of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, we hear cast them into the outer darkness. And none of us wants to hear that. So to hallow God's name means to praise, magnify, and honor, both in our words and in our deeds, so that what we say and what we do line up with what God has said for us in his word. We finish up with paragraphs 47 and 48 as Luther winds down his talk of the first petition. Hear now, learn what great need there is for such prayer, because we see how full the world is of sects and false teachers who all wear the holy name as a cover and sham for their doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy 4:1. We should by all means pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and cry out and call upon God against all people who preach and believe falsely. We should pray against whatever opposes and persecutes our gospel and pure doctrine and would suppress it, as do the bishops, tyrants, enthusiasts, and such, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Likewise, we should pray for ourselves who have God's word but are not thankful for it, nor live like we ought to according to the word. If you pray for this with your heart, you can be sure that it pleases God, for he will not hear anything more dear to him than that his honor and praise is exalted above everything else, and that his word is taught in its purity and is considered precious and dear. So far, Luther on the first petition. Luther talks about the world being full of sects at that time, and having all sorts of people saying all sorts of different things about what God says in his word. And we look back on church history and we see, okay, they weren't nearly as divided and watered down as what we see in 2023, even among Americans, even truly among Lutherans. There is so much division between us. Everybody tries to say we're all the same, except for those who truly hold on to God's word, who truly seek to hallow his name in word and deed. We don't try to cover up our doctrines as they need some covering, because they should be very clear. This is why we have the Confessional Corner on the podcast. That is why I do the digging deeper, to dig into the scriptures to see what it says and why it says it. Both of these things are there to help us to hallow God's name so it remains honored and praised among his people, so that it does bring about his glory. Because when he is glorified, then we are glorified through him. Just as all the prophets and apostles say, that if we live that life that God would have for us, that God prescribes for us, we receive untold blessings. And that is what we seek in this life. We seek the blessings of God. We seek to be the beneficiaries of his goodwill. But the goodwill only comes when we hallow his name. All right, that's it for this week. Next week, we pick up with the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come, and see exactly again. God's kingdom comes without our prayers, but we wrestle with how we treat that kingdom when it comes among us. Amen.